This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
The Dictionary of Obscure Sorrows.com, which is definitely a website I'm going to spend way more time on, defines...
Sarcastic?
No. I get into this kind of... Okay. I can lose myself.
You are a big nerd.
Yeah. Have you ever been to TVTropes.org?
No.
If you ever go, you'll come out in like 4 days' time.
What's that website you told me about last week that I had to visit?
I can't remember what I did yesterday, okay. James. Anyway.
Don't worry about it.
Sonder is a noun. It's the realization that each random passerby is living a life as vivid and complex as your own, populated with their own ambitions, friends, routines, worries, and inherited craziness. An epic story that continues invisibly around your like. And around you, like an anthill sprawling deep underground with elaborate passageways to thousands of other lives that you never knew existed.
I like that.
It is also the name of a documentary written and directed by Harrison Parker, produced by Ash Cottrell as part of the Victorian College of the Arts. They join us in the studio this evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. I hate to rain on your parade, but it is Packer, actually. Packer.
Is it Packer? Yeah.
Don't worry, it happens all
as
the time.
As in the Packers.
Oh, as in the Packers? Because
unfortunately not related.
Damn, I was going to treat you so much better, but no. Not Parker, it's Packer. You know why? Harrison Parker is the name of a character on a TV show, I've just realised.
What, really?
Yes.
What TV show?
Drop Dead Diva. I'm very embarrassed.
Oh my God, are you still watching that?
Anyway, moving right
along. Is that still on?
I can't say I'm familiar with Drop Dead Diva.
Moving on. That's
is it like Toddlers and Tiaras or something?
No, it's even worse.
Right. It's about a big girl who... dies.
James, let's not unpack this now, okay?
A big girl.
We'll tell you
anyway,
later.
Anyway, we'll tell you
later. It's like a body swap thing.
Let's talk about your documentary.
The skinny girl goes in.
If you want to talk 16 and pregnant, though, by the way, my favourite reality TV show will be Girl Lunch.
Okay.
Oh, I love that one too.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, right. Well, through the documentary, clearly.
So back to me.
Back to Harrison. Well, you guys are doing a documentary called Sonder.
Yes.
But in deference to modern memes and pop culture, you've dropped out the E.
Yes.
This is because one of the themes of the documentary is Grindr.
Yes, it is.
What was the motivation behind this work?
Well, I think, you know, there's, especially in the last decade, there's been a really strong intersection between, I guess, the realms of, you know, human sexuality and, you know, the online digital sphere. Especially within, I reckon, you know, the queer community and especially amongst gay men. I can only really speak from the perspective of gay men, being a gay man myself. So,
so are we.
Yeah. You're in good company.
So I just thought it raised a whole lot of interesting issues. And I know there have been things that have, you know, tackled this subject matter before, but I thought... Well, you know, when you're looking at the sort of screen, you know, the Grindr sort of display screen, you've got this sort of grid full of all these people who just pop up and you don't really sort of often think that, you know, these people are, you know, people exactly, you know, with their own sort of lives and things that go on outside of that. But they, you know, there they are and they choose to present themselves in certain ways. They have certain sort of display pictures that they put of themselves up there. Mm. They, you know, choose to describe themselves in, you know, however many sentences or whatever. And I'm just interested in that sort of idea of the way that people embellish or filter themselves.
I think that's a really interesting point. And I think it's only because something I realized recently, and that's the fact that everyone there is there for a different reason, I guess. Mm. But the way that what happened was the other weekend I woke up, because I'm on university, like study break at the moment. I woke up in the morning super horny and I thought, I just want to fuck. And I was hungover as well. And everyone knows that you're more horny when that happens. I don't know, you guys as well?
What do you mean you guys as well? The ladies of Melbourne? Or Oh, look, I'm just horny all the time, okay. Really. So yeah.
Also, well, again, in good company, I think. Yeah. Yes.
My metaphoric erection never goes down.
Yes, okay, there we go.
Thanks for that, Ash.
I found myself sending, not even going, hey, how are you? What are you up to? Blah, blah, blah. What do you do for a job? No. Down to fuck, whatever. Are you horny right now? Like, and something I was sending out, like, just as the first message. And then I was thinking, like, later on that day and even the next day, I was thinking, oh, I can't believe I was doing that. Because I would sometimes get those messages, right, when I'm not even in the mood. And so someone's, like, sending me a message, like, of their cock, like, straight away. And I'm like, oh, God, I'm on a tram. I'm on my way home from work. Like, I'm not really in the mood for seeing your dick right now. Sure. Like, I found myself, like, being like, well, if this is how I feel, I wonder if those people are the same. Mm, and I guess exactly. That's what you're finding.
Yeah, well, it's just the idea that... Sorry, I lost my train of thought.
You were distracted
by all this talk of penis.
And the dick.
Yes.
Distracted by the dick. That's fine.
Alliteration.
The concept around, because your one sentence synopsis is plumbing the depths of gay networking.
I could have said penetrating, but...
Yeah.
You should have.
You should have said penetrating the depths. To ask questions around technology and human longing.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a depressing thought.
Yeah, when I read this, I wanted to cut myself. Like, it's really...
Thanks.
It's kind of depressing because it reminded me of myself.
I think it's just inherent, you know? We're all are longing for something.
We're all very lonely people in our own way.
Did you find in research, the first sort of easy question, how long did this take to research?
A couple of months, really.
It's never ending.
You must be finding things all the time.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much.
Do you have a Grindr profile, Ash?
I am setting one up this evening.
Right.
After popular demand.
There's many people clamoring for her.
Yeah. Are you using your own photo?
I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do. Have you got any suggestions for me?
I think you should use your own photo.
Can you trade a dick pic for me?
Oh, I can give you a dick pic,
really?
Sure. Yeah. I've got plenty of people's dick pics in here. I'll give you someone else's.
Yeah. It took you a couple of months or a few months to research. What was the most surprising thing that you found during that research? What was the thing that you thought that you had an assumption about it would be A, but it actually turned out to be B?
Well, I thought it would just be a lot of, like, you know, horny people just, you know, wanting to hook up with each other. But, you know, there were a lot of people I spoke to who were like, you know, this is something that was very instrumental for me for, like, actually connecting with other, you know, gay or same-sex attracted individuals because they didn't have access to them. They, you know, they didn't feel they had access to other same-sex attracted people. So it was, for them, a process of just, you know, talking. And I was like, okay, I wasn't expecting, you know, that sort of dynamic to come out of it, really.
And was this from people in Melbourne, or were you... Because obviously we know that these apps do form... They are actually social in the more regional and rural areas of Australia.
Yeah, they are.
But you were finding that kind of thing in Melbourne as well?
Yeah, in Melbourne as well, especially amongst sort of younger gay people who were sort of like, you know, unsure about, you know, where to go to sort of find other, you know, young gay people to talk to, or just other gay people to talk to in general. Mm. And so, yeah, for some reason or other, they ended up with Grindr.
We are talking to Harrison Packer and Ash Cottrell, who are the writer, director and producer of Sonder, a new documentary about Grindr, that part of the Victorian Centre of the Arts, no?
College of the Arts.
Something VC. I was going to say VCA.
I should
spell it out. You are on Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self, with James Finlay over there, Avi Miller over here. We're joined in the studio by Harrison and Ash. I'm now not going to bother with your surnames. We're talking about Sonder, which is your documentary about online hookup apps. We should watch it, but, you know, we don't want to promote any one app in particular.
No, there's plenty of them.
Yeah, and that raises an interesting question. Why did you pick that app for a particular reason, or was it just because it was ubiquitous?
I think, yeah, more for the ubiquity, yeah. It's the most well-known of them. It's one of the precursors to all the assorted others that have, you know, come out of the woodwork since. I mean, many of the people that we have spoken to and that we are going to be interviewing for this project do use a multitude of these others as well.
Yeah.
And we're going to sort of try and, you know, cover as best we can that sort of use, but I think it's better off if we try and focus on, majorly on one rather than trying to fit them all in, because it is a short documentary.
And they all kind of do the same thing anyway.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, there are certain differences between them and they serve different functions, but, like, overall there's that same sort of purpose guiding their use.
Mm. They each have possibly a different focus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas the genre is similar.
Yeah.
And I suppose one of the things about selecting a single app, certainly from an artistic point of view, is it gives you a thematic base.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you get to use imagery from a particular app and stuff like that, which at least helps you guide the look of the project.
And it stops it from getting too unwieldy with, like, all these other sort of nuances and stuff.
Mm.
You know, if you just focus on the one thing, it's really, it provides a strong structural base.
Now, how many people did you interview, or how many people are you interviewing for the documentary?
For the documentary itself, we've got about 4 to 5 people, and I've interviewed about I'd say I've interviewed about 4 or 5 more who, for whatever reasons, haven't been able to be
they're
part
crazy.
Of this project.
They're crazy.
No, not so much that they're crazy. We've just had, you know, some people drop out and things like that. So.
Was it difficult to find people who would be willing, first of all, to talk at all about it and then subsequently to talk on camera? I'm going to ask Ash that because you're the producer. Mm. You have to go and find the talent, I would imagine.
I would say no to that question because I just make people offers they can't refuse, you see.
Well, you can't use your sexuality.
Well,
like,
know,
Jenna Maroney.
Any sexual favours that I have offered have been rejected, I must say. I don't really take no for an answer, and I'd say no, it hasn't been difficult to find people that are. Yeah, I'm an actor, so I'm from a theatre base, and I mean Harry sort of. Oh, sorry, not a theatre. I mean, let me start again. I'm an actor, and I've done a bit of theatre. So when you're in that world, you know, you're.
There are plenty of people who are willing to talk.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, when you were interviewing the people, were they giving you the answers that you were expecting, or were you surprised by anything?
I was surprised about the insidious sort of racism and stuff that can be a part of.
Yes.
I wasn't.
I was surprised about that because I don't have any dating apps or anything on my phone, but I did download Tinder for a very short period of time for various reasons. And
single.
Dates that went very badly. But anyway, I would have been mortified had I seen anything sort of remotely racist on that.
I'm surprised how much I'm finding that living back here in Melbourne. When I was in Europe, of course, it wasn't a thing. But over, sure, like a lot of people, you know, would rather someone that wasn't of an Asian persuasion, for example. But, you know, that's something that I've seen here in Melbourne for a long time. But I feel like since I've come back, there are people that are against any race in particular. And I'm surprised by that. And also I'd rather someone who's a little bit different. So I'm like, no, show me your differences. Show me your colours.
Mm. Well, the racism was one of the issues that I was really, you know, set on tackling. And, it is something that is very apparent through a lot of these apps and even stuff prior to the apps as well. It was something that through discussion with, you know, some of my subjects that, it was something that they had encountered, and it's something that I don't think we should shy away from discussing.
No.
Did you manage to interview anybody who did have one of these statements on their profiles?
Unfortunately not.
Oh, we would actually love to hear from you if you do have one of those statements.
If you are prejudiced.
Mm. Well, you know, it does unpack that, the interest between what you are, you know, there are ways to do it. What you're sexually attracted to is what you're sexually
attracted
to.
Sure.
And I think our community has to understand that we're looking for acceptance for who we are sexually attracted to. But there is a good way of presenting that, and then there's a bad way of presenting that.
We did find, you know, one of our subjects, all will be revealed in the film after its completion at ACME at the end of the year and hopefully some other festivals. But anyway, there's a lot of internal homophobia and a lot of internal racism going on, which I think is just
it's like no femmes.
Fascinating.
Yeah, the no femmes thing and the basically
mask only.
Yeah, mask
straight acting.
All that.
Someone
said
to me, are you straight acting? I'm like, well, I love cock a lot. So if you want someone that doesn't like cock, then I'm really the wrong person. So keep looking.
It's such a strange concept.
We've had an email in on air at joy.org.au if want to be part of the conversation or SMS us 0427JOY949. At a mental health conference recently, a major national mental health organization reported how a recent campaign received the most engagement through advertisements placed on Grindr and other apps when compared to advertising on the website of gay newspapers. So they got way more engagement through people clicking the app or clicking the advert in the app than they did on a website. When you were researching and when you were interviewing your subjects, did the men who attracted men and who were using the apps give any insights, or were they more likely to be experienced things like social isolation, loneliness, or potential increased levels of psychological distress? I mean, was there a bigger isolation, do you think?
Do you mean as a result of using the app? Potentially, yeah.
Mm. Or, you know, did isolation cause them to use the app, or did the app cause them greater isolation, I suppose?
I think what I found mostly is that it's the use of the app is motivated, I guess, by a sense of loneliness and isolation, really. That actually hasn't really come up in the questioning yet, but it's...
I think it's interesting because it's also the question of... I mean, I'm fascinated with texts like Taxi Driver and stuff, and it's about a Taxi Driver.
The film.
Oh, right.
But, you know, it's about a self-imposed loneliness as well. You know, for that character in that film, he had imposed a loneliness on himself, and I think that's an interesting question to ask as well. Do we do that as sort of post-modern urban dwelling people impose that loneliness on ourselves? And then I think it's a perpetual cycle of loneliness.
And there's sort of a loneliness that comes out of that sort of cycle of like, oh yeah, I'm just going to hook up with that person, because it's sort of, it reduces that sort of act to something that's purely physical and removes, I guess, any sort of potential emotional, or it attempts to remove any sort of emotional connective element out of it. I think out of some sort of need to sort of protect one's ego or protect one's sort of sense of self from getting too attached and potentially rejected or hurt by that. So
that's interesting, because how many times has it come up that, or maybe it hasn't, that's, you know, someone's turned up to, I've had people turn up to my house and then I look at them and I'm like, well, this isn't the person I ordered. But hey, I've got a heart on, so you may as well come and suck me off and then you can leave.
Well, we've had many...
I love your standards.
I was going to say.
Well, how embarrassing would it be if, like, when they turn up and then you open the door, kind of scrunch your face up and go, you know what, leave. Like, I just don't want to put... I've done it before but I didn't want to go through it.
We've had so many stories
and
told to us about
will all
that.
Be revealed.
Yeah. Doors being slammed in people's faces, people having doors slammed in their faces.
Yeah.
A lot of just like, no, sorry, you're not the one that I thought, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, I suppose, you know, in... He plays devil's advocate, but in the defense of the app user, you know,
it's the nature of the beast.
Yeah, and you are promised this ease of use and this instant gratification. This, I'm looking, you know, it's the curse of the headless torso, I call it. Because
exactly.
You look at that, and I really hope that one of your interview subjects for the length of the documentary is just the headless torso. Mm-hmm.
because no head in the camera shot.
No, not at all. Just a headless torso. You can't
Are
even
you
see
offering? Or?
No, you don't want my headless torso.
If anyone wants to be a headless torso please contact us. And
that's the disconnect, though, right? You know, between wanting to be treated like a human being and being so
readily, being treated like a piece of meat.
Yeah, I think that's the problem with these things, let me rephrase. Not the problem, but that's the disconnect. You know, you sign up for this kind of immediate, you know, let's get it on thing, but you want to be treated like a human being when you turn up to somebody's house.
But part of that disconnect is also a product of how these things are so, I guess, in many ways, very image-based. And because, you know, online, it's a very sort of... You have a lot more self-mediation in the way that people present themselves. So, you know...
Really?
Really?
I would have thought less.
No, I mean, like, you'd be surprised at how many people sort of, like, you know, would selectively choose certain photos for because they think they're going to get a certain effect out of something, or maybe even sort of touch them up, you know, like in Photoshop or something beforehand.
Yeah, I can't believe I get blemishes. So pissed off when people do that. They'll send me a set of photos and they might look different in everyone. I'm like, oh, come on, don't bullshit me. Like, what do you actually look like? I don't want to, like, you. And I say, you shouldn't be doing this. Like, he's like, oh, some people, like, say that I don't look like my pictures. I'm like, well, why don't you pick pictures what you actually look
How
like?
How about I just take a photo of you now and we'll upload that?
But not even Photoshop as well. Like, you know, they might, you know, have their photo from a certain angle. Ago. Yeah, or older, or, like, certain lighting conditions, that sort of thing. And even when they sort of do their About Me section, like, you know, there's always going to be that space for, like, self-mythologizing through that self-elaboration where you can sort of just go, like,
I'm into long walks on the beach, soft summer rains, and getting fucked in the arse.
Yeah, like that. And, like, really you can excise all the uncomfortable, ugly things that you don't want people to find out about you, really.
But on the flip side, there are lots of times where you look online and you go, that's the picture you chose.
I do that too.
You know,
I'm like, you actually think that looks attractive? That's what I think sometimes when I see some pictures.
Yeah, and you sort of.
Sometimes I even tell them, you should repick that picture.
But it goes back to the you know, we were saying about the overt racism on these apps, and you wonder about the presentation. You kind of want to give all of these people a TAFE course in marketing.
Because, you mean how to market yourself?
Yeah, because they're not selling themselves terribly well. If your profile is full of, I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't like this, sure. I don't like that.
It's sort of like, what do you? Yeah. What do you like? What do you want? Yeah. You know?
Evidently...
You're on hide and seek.
Indeed.
We are discussing a brand new documentary that is in the midst of being made.
And we are going to give you more information about how you can get in contact with the lovely producer and writer-director in case you think that your story is begging to be told.
Uplifting, informing, empowering.
Hide and seek.
Joy 94.9.
You're on Hide and Seek here on Joy 94.9. It's your show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self. You're joined by Avi Miller and James Finlay, and we're joined in the studio by Harry and Ash. Harry is the writer and director. Ash is the producer of a new documentary called Sonda looks at the integration, I suppose, of or the intersection almost of hookup apps and loneliness and human connection, and all in, how long is this thing?
It'd be 20 minutes.
So brief, but deep.
Brief.
Yeah.
If anyone's got any Grindr stories that they want to share with us now, they can. 0427JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au. Or if you want to have any questions.
Any hookup
or
story. I mean, any app, story. We don't mind.
It doesn't matter.
We were talking a little bit before and a lot off air about that the instant gratification, but also instant rejection. You know, people who you were saying, Harry, had doors slammed in their face or had doors closed. And this is something that, you know, that now people are using the apps and staying for the story. You know, they don't want to stay, but this is going to be hilarious to tell people tomorrow.
Yeah.
Do you find that, you know, as you were saying, that you didn't actually find it difficult for people to find people to talk about? Did they find it difficult to start talking?
Not the creative people that we have
not,
on board.
Not really.
Maybe we should have financed or something like that.
Yeah. Maybe somebody outside of the arty circles.
Yeah. Well, we did try. It was difficult, I guess.
I was... this is definitely one of those situations the other day, or a few weeks ago. I was chatting to this guy online. We've been chatting for months, and he'd always wanted to hook up with me. And then I was just never had the time, never had the...
Inclination. Weren't in the right country. That's
exactly.
Sort of
it was like we just weren't matching up. Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't send me a face pic because he played football, like soccer, and he didn't want to, you know, be outed to his team or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, and so one time when I was waking up, when it was actually the same morning, I sent him a text. And I was like, look, where are you free now? So, of course, he was like, replied, yes, I'll be there in 20 minutes. I'll come pick you up and go back to my place. I was like, great. So he picks me up. Apparently, like, I live in Northcote. And apparently, I thought he lived around Richmond somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it's nice and close.
He lives in Pakenham.
He lived in Cranbourne. Yeah. So he gets onto the Eastern. And I'm like, where are we going?
Oh,
and he's like, oh, we're going to my house. I'm like, yeah, but don't you live in like Richmond? He's like, oh, no, I just live near Dandenong.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, oh, far out. All right, fine. So I like had a huge night the night before. So I took a nap in the car and I text my friends like from the night before. I was like, P.S. going to this guy's place. Don't know where he lives. If you don't hear from me in a few hours, like I'll keep my GPS on.
Yeah.
Get to his house, which was like, empty. Oh, P.S. He was not great looking, like in the face. Body was okay, but I went along with it anyway because I was desperate.
Uh-huh.
And so we ended up at his house. He said he'd already organized a threesome.
Right.
So, but the person that turns up obviously went through the same thing as what I went through, and he didn't send a lot of pictures either. The guy turns up, sees what he looks like while I was waiting in the bedroom, says, oh, no, closes the door.
Oh, so you're strapped tied up to the bed.
Yeah, pretty much on grind.
And in Cranbourne.
Yeah, in the middle of bumfuck nowhere, which is ironically what I didn't get much of. And so I was on every app trying to find someone in the vicinity.
To get another
one, yeah.
Somebody prettier that you can spend your, you know, you can look
at. To come
at.
And join us.
Yeah.
Or at least rescue you.
He gets a text. Yeah, exactly. Gets a text. Oh my God. My family's all coming over for lunch.
Oh my.
Yeah. I was there for about 15 minutes, I think. And then I was like, well, I'm
lovely
not staying
to meet you
here.
All.
Yeah. Can you take me back? And so he's like, yeah, okay. That was the longest half hour, 45 minute drive of my entire bloody life.
Yeah. Oh, wow. If you've had
I jerked off and made some pasta.
If you ever
hopefully not in that order.
Yeah, what was that order?
Yeah. Okay, well. What? Why is the pasta need to come first?
Yeah. If you've
no,
ever
I came first.
if you've had a similar story, or if you've had a have you met your long term boyfriend online? I want to hear those stories as well.
Oh, a couple of my best mates met their boyfriends on apps.
0427JOY949.
They won't admit to it though.
Email onair@joy.org.au. I have my very best girlfriend for many years met her husband on a hookup. No, well, no, on a hookup app for straight people. And they're married. They have a kid.
Yeah.
And they still don't tell any of their parents how they met. They met through mutual. I can't remember in the end, but you know, it's been 10 something odd years.
Romance on a tram.
Yeah. I wonder what the equivalent for like, you know, our parents' generation would be like, oh, don't tell anyone we met there. Oh, do you know what I mean?
Maybe the local beat.
Well, Grindr is the extension of the beat.
Yeah, it is a bit of an extension of that whole sort of like.
We were talking about this earlier with our doctor who was doing a periodic survey. But he said the people who are using apps are just the people who used to find sex elsewhere before.
That's yeah.
Right, yeah.
So it's maybe they're the people that were going to sex on premises venues, or maybe they're people that are going to a local beat, but now they've just got mobile phones and so they're using that now.
Yeah.
There are still people that go to those places that don't use the apps because, you know, they don't want their faces being seen, I think.
And maybe the nostalgia value, who knows?
Yeah.
The nostalgia of a local sauna.
Well, there is, you know, oddly enough, the lack of intimacy with using the app that isn't present, ironically, in sex on premises venues for some people, because they're in a group. There is a shared experience that you're all in this place at the same time, wanting the same thing. It's way more overt because there are
totally.
These.
Because you know, you're in a towel.
Yeah. Or you're not in a towel. But the idea, you know, just, people in apps go, just here to chat, just checking messages. Mm-hmm. No, you're fucking not.
Yeah,
sometimes I am.
But, oh,
But just checking messages.
We heard a lot of people go on there just to cuddle.
Yeah.
Apparently. Oh, I've had someone come over for a Disney movie once.
Oh.
What?
Which one?
Frozen.
Okay.
Okay. So recently then?
Yeah.
I
in the last couple of months.
It wasn't The Lion King or anything like that.
No. I will say that a very good friend of the show, Christian Vega, who is an out and proud sex worker, had a client recently. He came over. And Christian had Frozen playing, and the client insisted that Frozen continue to play all the way through the session.
While having sex?
Yes.
Jeez.
Is that a new fetish?
I told Christian we need to...
Or he just really likes Disney.
I don't know that that's a new fetish.
I wonder what happens when Fantasia comes on. Oh, is that Disney? No,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah,
this is like the ultimate Disney.
Yeah, that's the ultimate Disney. Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Fantasia gave me nightmares.
That would just be too much, yeah.
Talk about a night on Bald Mountain.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know where this is going, but I like it.
You're on hide and... Oh, wait, you're
on... Yeah, no, we can do... You're on hide and seek. You can do it.
No, you're on hide and seek with James Finlay and Arvie Miller. In the studio, we've got Ash Cottrell and... Cottrell?
Yeah. Oh, you got it right. Yes.
Oh, ding, ding. And Harrison Packer, who
not
are
Parker.
Making...
No.
Not Parker. Packer. Who are making a
not the Packers, but Packers.
Yeah, sure.
You're on Joy 94.9.
Hide and seek.
It's your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self.
The most diverse sound for the most diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
You're with James Finlay and Arvie Miller for your Thursday evening hide and seek. It's only got 15 minutes left of the show, so I hope you're enjoying yourself. If you have missed anything, though, you can head to the website and download the podcasts.
So yes, usually when I get around to it.
Yeah. But in the studio now, writer and director Ash Cottrell and Harrison.
Producer Ash.
Producer Ash and writer and director Harrison.
Well, I was going to put you both together.
Oh, okay.
Whatever.
Whatever. Get it right. Come on.
Ash Cottrell and Harrison Packer. And we are speaking Grindr because they're making a documentary if you've just tuned in.
Now, you are still, as you were saying to us before, even though you have scheduled to film next week, you are still looking for potential subjects.
I think we're open to be surprised. We've got a couple of days up our sleeve in the latter part of next week that we could potentially fit
more people in. Yeah. So to speak. How would people find out or contact more?
We do have
find out more, contact you.
I mean, I ordinarily speaking would be happy to give my number out on air. But
I would recommend not.
Yeah, but no, we do have it. We do have a Facebook page. So if you just search Sonder, S-O-N-D-R, you should be able to find us.
Yes, you should.
Welcome to email us.
We've had a text in on 0427JOY949 from Daniel, who says, so many Grindr stories. I think I've had a blowjob in every suburb in Melbourne.
So many.
The documentary sounds really interesting, guys. P.S. I've never had a serious relationship from Grindr, but before Grindr was around, I did meet a guy at a beat, and it was real love. We were both in the closet, and we were on and off for about 5 years, and we're still good friends.
I wonder, Daniel, are you both? Well, obviously, you're not in the closet anymore, but I wonder if your friend is still in the closet.
And would you like to come on Hide and Seek for an hour and talk about it? Let's unpack this. We're always up for interesting stories. If you've had an interesting story, a good one or a bad one, we want to hear about it. 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au, just like Daniel did.
What were you going to say?
Well, you know, is it okay to suggest something that we could bring to the floor?
Bring it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bring it, so to speak. Getting out there, trying to put yourself out there as a single lady in Melbourne is sometimes quite difficult, but I prefer to, you know,
ain't that the truth?
go up to random people and give my number to them in real life, you know. Like, so recently I got up at a restaurant and saw a handsome chap, walked on over and gave him my phone number. Anyway, well, yes, he got in touch with me, but my point is those interactions can be as futile as online stuff as well, you know. I've done that quite a lot because I'm quite a brazen lady,
right?
It just generally doesn't lead anywhere either. So it's kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe
at least you don't have the expense of buying someone a drink. online.
It's much cheaper online, you know?
Although, unfortunately,
in so many ways.
But I guess what I'm trying to bring to the floor is what do you guys think about, you know, the old-fashioned way of meeting people?
Oh, I think it's... I met a guy at a bar a couple of weeks ago, and I was very happy with that because that never happens anymore.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm. Like if people even go to gay bars and sit on Grindr.
That's right.
Yeah.
Or in any app.
Oh, my God, the story is... everyone keeps saying that, like, oh, yeah, you just go to a gay bar now and everyone's just standing by the bar on their phones on Grindr, and then that's how they sort of... chatting with each other, and it's like, but you're at a bar.
Yeah,
I try to bring back the old fashioned, you know, handing out the phone number.
Mm, that's nice. It's nice and old fashioned.
Nice but futile.
Well, I was going to say the extension of that is, do people? So I'll ask you, Harry, because you interviewed your subjects. Do people still date? Like they've got the apps, they hook up with the apps, but did they still sort of date? No, shush you. I'm not talking. You're shush. I'm asking Harry because he interviewed them. I want to know is what was the separation between I'm going to use this app to hook up, but I still want to date and have a boyfriend and have a relationship. How did they reconcile the two?
I think, you know, there's a lot of people on there who are just sort of like, look, I'm just in it for a bit of fun or whatever, but deep down they're like, you know, in the end, I, you know, would like to find a partner or a deeper connection than just sort of like a hookup. And, you know, there are quite a few people who sort of expressed that sort of opinion. There were some people who were like, yeah, I know it sounds stupid, but, I was hoping to find like the love of my life, whatever, on there as well. You know, we've had, you know, people say all sorts of sort of...
I don't think they do date, to answer your question.
Oh, yes,
though.
We do. I tend to look for different...
Rarely.
I just mean there's not that sort of let's go out to dinner kind of thing anymore.
Oh, well...
Is that what you were referring
to?
Yeah.
Like courtship.
Yeah. That's why I like the old-fashioned.
There's different people on, like... I go for different types of people for different things. When I see someone on there that I'm like, you know what, I could definitely see that person more than once, or I would like to, I can picture them as being someone that I'd be interested in long term. I speak to them a little bit differently as someone's like,
you use
all right,
punctuation
well,
and proper spelling?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No dick pics?
No dick pics straight up. No, keep them hidden for a while. And then bring it out.
30 to 40 seconds at least.
Whereas then there's people on there that I would, you know, speak a little bit differently to.
Yeah.
Don't really want to talk to you for anything else. Just want to have sex. Don't want to see you again. Don't talk to me. Keep your mouth shut unless it's got my dick in it.
How do you know?
That's one way of putting it.
And I'm, again, how do people separate the sex from the dating? Like, I mean, did your subjects go into it going, I'm going to try and find somebody to date and sex is okay as well? Or for the most part, were they all going, I'm going to have sex and dating is fine if that happens? What were their primary focuses?
I think it was more of the latter, but that's not to say that there were, you know, none of the former either, really.
Mm.
And, there are some people who sort of do use the different apps that are out there for different purposes.
Mm. Well, yeah, like I don't speak to the same person on Grindr, like the same way on Grindr as I would on Tinder, for example.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, you'd have someone who would use like, and it's also inbuilt in the way that those different apps are set up. Like, you know, in Grindr, you only do have like, you know, the one photo and a couple of sentences, but on something like OkCupid, you've got like these like
essays.
Mountains of essays that you write about yourself and questions upon questions.
I need to find it. I work in IT and I'm getting closer and closer to finding the people who designed the OkCupid algorithm. Because somewhere along the line in one of the questions that I answered when I was still single, I managed to trigger the bisexual pagan attraction because I got linked to every single married bisexual pagan guy in Melbourne. And that's not like an insignificant number, by the way. I'm talking more than 25 emails from different people, 25 different people.
Well, there's certainly a community.
Oh, yeah. And I just want to know which question it was that I answered. Not that I mind. I have nothing against bisexual married pagan
guys. Well, apparently there's one that's like, do you find the prospect of, like, nuclear war exciting or something?
It's and like when
that's
you do
such
that.
A bizarre question to ask on a dating
It's
website.
Like when you do that quiz on Facebook, like, which Mad Men character are you? And you're like, damn it, which one is it not letting me be Don Draper? And it's like, what no am one I
but,
saying?
No yeah. one but Don Draper is Don Draper.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Now, we're almost out of time.
Already? No.
Yeah. If there was, did you have a goal going into the project? Did you think that it was going to turn out a particular way going in, and did it, or were you surprised?
Well, you know, I was actually hoping to find more people through the app itself. like, you know, not to say that I didn't find people, but I don't think their intention... Well, what happened was I did set up, like, a, you know, my own account on there. Because, like, look, I did not use Grindr before... You know, creating really? This film, really, mm. yeah. I was always one of the more sort of like, oh, Grindr. You know, you've got some people in judging. The community who yeah, are like, oh, yeah, judging. Grindr. But, like, you know, I have lots of friends who use it, a lot of friends who use it. And I was just kind of like, well, look, it does touch on a lot of sort of subjects and things that I do find fascinating about that sort of the way that, you know, the internet has changed people's approaches to sexuality and stuff like that. And so I thought, look, this is worth looking into. But yeah, I did. Oh, sorry, I've gone massively off track of what I was originally saying.
No, it's fine. I mean, did you set out with a particular goal, or did you think while you were doing the research, did your goal post shift? I suppose. I mean, and was it were there any revelations?
Well, originally I was looking at more that sort of, you know, critical side of like, oh, what are the sort of darker sides that, you know, of, I guess the way that same-sex attracted men can relate to each other that it sort of has, feeds into. But at the same time, I found that I was looking more into the, I guess just the general dynamics, the general emotional dynamics of longing and loneliness and, you know, desire and how they all interplay. And that sort of became more my focus through it.
And it's turned into a really joyful...
Yeah.
Sorry.
Hopefully. No. Have you learned more about yourself?
Not at this stage.
Well, we haven't finished making the documentary.
No, so. No. It'll probably be one of those things week. Where, like, I watch it when it's, like, showing at Acme at the end of the year, and then all of a sudden I'll have that sort of, like, revelatory sort of light ping bulb, go off yeah. in my head.
Yeah, yeah.
On that note, Harry Packer, Ash Cottrell, thank you so much for joining
thank you
us.
For
oh, it's
us.
Been a lot of fun.
I actually got dressed up for the occasion.
I know, you're very...
You realised it's radio.
I wore a padlock because I thought it was kind of, you know... sexual or something.
Well, see, she had time to go home
it's
and change.
Dolce and Gabbana.
So.
If you want to find out more information, go online and Facebook, search for Sonder, Sondr, and you can find out more online.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.